Hey friend, it's David Nabinsky here in Brooklyn, here at the Portfolio Career Podcast. We hope you take ownership of your career and design a life that you want to live. This episode is with me. This episode is recorded from a portion of a virtual event that I hosted called Level Up Your Events. At the event, I shared 7 things that I usually do to level up my events, and so I wanted to share that with you. And so if you're hosting a conference or want to build an event series or a community through events, I hope this episode is for you. And also, please reach out and let's jam, and maybe there's a way we can work together. Also, if you want to attend and know about events like this, make sure you subscribe to my Substack newsletter called David Nabinsky's Substack Newsletter. You can also find a link to the Substack on my podcast website at portfoliocareerpodcast.com. So excited for you to build and grow your portfolio career and level up with your events. Here we go with me. Okay, so I talked about 7 ways to level up your events. Here's the 7 ways that I think about things. These are mostly, I would say, like bigger events, like mini conferences or like professional mixers, and or sometimes my podcast events as well. But these are the 7 things. Personally invite people. It takes a lot of time, but that's been a big focus of me, is sending text messages or emails, sending value add pre-event messages, similar to the way that I sent to you all along the way here. I really think there's an opportunity to kind of like boost momentum and rapport and connection and excitement in advance. Create an attendee directory, which I think I did for this. Create pre-event teams over email. Surprise and delight moments. It's a lot easier in person. I think a lot about like the venue and like how can you kind of shift people's state as they like arrive and or like throughout the day and the event. Take a group photo, which I think we talked about as well. And then a low lift way for people to connect post-event. So those are like the quick 7 ways. I'll go into more detail about them. I don't know why you might care. A little bit about me. I've hosted 80 podcast mixers. So this is like a brand new format of live interactive podcast events in my apartment. A couple times outside the apartment, but mostly in my apartment as a way to post-pandemic. I really wanted to make new friends, see my existing friends, and I wanted to keep podcasting. I've been podcasting for 7 years and kind of stumbled across this way to integrate hosting events and recording a podcast. In New York, I've hosted over 20 in-person events for chiefs of staff and then 60 in 2024 remotely. So I've kind of figured out a way how to host events but not be there, which is nice. I guess it goes both ways. I like being at the events too, but to be able to like utilize the skills that we all have to host events and not be there is also something that's been fun. And then I also really like these like mini conferences or micro conferences, which are like 6-hour events that I think Brandon has been to, and maybe someone else here on this call. So that's a little bit about me. Thanks for being here if we haven't met yet. So as I mentioned, personally invite people. So it takes a lot more work, but I really think like, especially these days, like standing out with your event like really matters. There's a lot of like Partiful text blasts and Luma's text blasts, and the tech has helped, but like it, I think adds to the noise a little bit. So I've been trying to, it takes more work, but have really focused on personally inviting people. So then value add pre-event messages. I think someone else talked a little bit earlier about Nick Gray's book. In that book, and then through some of my experiences as well, I've learned to like send messages in advance, again, as a way to like, people are really busy. So I want to like send messages in advance that like remind them about the event, get them excited about the event, and add connection in advance. And I also do this like multi-channel too. So you utilize Partiful, Luma, and then also email. I think it's great to have like your own channel with people. And And then also in these messages, I try to like sometimes have like a really quirky CTA that like hopefully gets people to respond sometimes, so that they're like more connected to the event. So sometimes I ask for people to like share their song that they like, because I like to include songs and emails as well. I'm quirky, I'm weird, but I'm having fun. And I think if you're having fun when you're hosting, people can feel it. Okay, so then attendee directory. I think I do this as a way to help people understand who else is going to be there and get excited to chat with people. And yeah, it's another way to like to stand out. And I think people come to events because they want to know who else is there and they want to meet people, they want to connect with them. So making it easier to do that is something that I do through an attendee directory, which I did for this event, which is kind of meta. It's weird to talk about an event on events when that with you all who've kind of experienced it a little bit. But hopefully that's been helpful. Okay, another thing I like to do is create pre-event teams. Again, this is for more like sophisticated events or bigger events. And especially if it's like a really big event, I want to make it feel small and help people know like who are a couple people that I could definitely chat with. It's also a way to like incorporate that into some of the programming as well. If you're like, okay, there's this team of who the expats or the solopreneurs, and it's a bigger event, like having the solopreneurs meet in advance, and maybe there's a way to tie that into the programming at the event as well. Surprise and delight moments, as I talked about. I have this "You are awesome" sign. I actually have it here with me. And this is like a $3 thing or $5 thing that my friend Olive and I made for this event that we hosted in like 2022. And I put it in the elevator of my apartment for basically every event. And it's like the thing that people comment on the most. And yeah, it also makes them like smile a little bit in advance, like as they're walking into an event, they're like, wait, is this David's sign? Is this for this event, or is this something else? But I think that that's fun, and I really like to try to like get people excited and shift their perspective. Like, okay, I just came on the subway, I think I'm at the right place, and then they like see a sign like this, they're like, oh no, I am in the right place. Okay, like now I can get like more excited about this event. Last year I hosted this event, and when people arrived, they got a moist hand towel. It was a hot day, and when they arrived, I gave them a wet, cold towel. And people like then talked about that afterwards, and it was something that I wanted, and I decided to give that to other people. And number six, take a group photo. We talked about it a little bit before, but like I've used this photo maybe like 20 times. So group photos are really powerful, help people like connect post-event, but then also, yeah, it can also help get the word out about your existing events and market for future events. And it's also just a nice to see you like your friends, and see who was there. Like, oh wait, I thought that they were chatting that one time. Okay, yeah, they were at that same event. Oh wow, they're like close friends now. Oh wait, yeah, that because they met at my event. Okay, wow, that's amazing. And then I also like to do low lift ways to stay for people to stay connected, group email or group chat. I think a lot of stuff is best post event as well. And yeah, those are like my seven things that I wanted to share. Any questions before we go into breakouts?
The moist towels, the logistics of it, I guess. I'm guessing you had some sort of like container and they were all in there.
It was a big bin, and I bought like an 80 pack from Amazon, and then I just put them into a sink, poured water on it, and then put it into the freezer. And then I had a friend, she helped out, and she like greeted people with the towel. Yeah. But the problem, yeah, and then the problem is like when people they experience these things, they want them every time. So like, okay, where's the moist towel this time? And so, anyways, it's good how people like, they appreciate certain like surprise and delight and nice touches, but then it also sets the bar high. But hey, that's fun. I think raising the bar for the people that we care about and that we want to host for is great. Any other questions?
I like the surprise and delight one, David. I was thinking, like, what can I do for my party? Because some icebreakers are like, hey, have you read something recently or listened to a podcast recently? And you share it, they share it with everybody, and everybody finds it like really useful or valuable. And I was thinking of like giving a prize at the end of the party to the person that, provided such really good, valuable information or whatever that at least a lot of people felt was. And it could even be something as simple as like, I don't know, a bag of Oreo cookies or I don't know, a bottle of wine or something like that. But I think those moments, like the moist towels or something like that, those are what really makes, the party stand out, is those little things that people didn't expect.
Yeah, thanks. And also, yeah, they usually don't cost a lot of money. Also, in this about the group photo, the other thing that I wanted to share about a group photo is it's also a great way to like facilitate and to kind of like move people from, I think people want to meet a lot of people and they sometimes don't know how to end conversations. Through a group photo, you're able to say, hey, like we're now about to take this group photo. We're about to take this group photo. Like, can you come over here? And you kind of like are naturally ending conversations for people. And then they're like somehow get next to someone else during the photo. And then like afterwards, they can turn to the other person. And so a group photo is an interesting kind of like facilitation technique as well. And yeah, so I think helping people end conversations and spark new ones is something that I think a lot about, and a group photo is one way to do that as well. Any other questions before
Do
breakout?
you have, whether for you, David, or anybody here, I'm always curious around the operationalization of all of this because, like, we all want to do as much as we can, but like, it really takes so much, like, can take so much, like, brain power and just management generally. So, do you have any, like, secret tips to how you make it a little bit easier and less of a load?
For me, and I want to hear from everyone else, I try to host as a similar format and framework as much as possible. I think when I add a lot of like newness to things, it's just like something else to remember and to think about.
Yeah.
So I try to do like a repeatable format as much as possible. And also like the mini conferences, I can generally do them all by myself. So I think when you're, I love help and I love collaborating with people, but also like adds other dimensions to it. So I think I've tried to like streamline like what's the most that I can do. And then knowing that I've done it before makes me remember like, oh, just I can add like one or two things, but don't always like, oh, let's restart this. Like, okay, can I add 10 more things or 10 new themes? And like that just like gets in my head a lot, when it already is a lot to host. But I'm curious if anybody else has got any tips or hacks on like streamlining things.
I can speak to that. It's not always possible. Also, sorry, my dogs in the background are losing their minds. If you're able to find either a partner or someone who comes to an event who shows a level of interest that suggests, okay, I might be able to join you on this and lighten some of the load. That's been really effective for this WhatsApp community to have three of us kind of splitting the responsibility. That, of course, happened really organically, but yeah, two cents.
Hey, friend. Thank you for listening to this Portfolio Career Podcast episode. I would love to hear what you learned or took away from this episode. I hope you find me, David Nabinsky, on Twitter, Instagram, or LinkedIn. Also, if you want the best insights from the podcast and to hear my learnings, please subscribe to my Portfolio Career Substack newsletter that I send out every 2 weeks. You can find that on my website at portfoliocareerpodcast.com/newsletter. So excited for you to build and grow your portfolio career. Thank you so much.